The Voice of Thaimanavar, The Silent Sage, an 18th century Tamilian saint whose poetry beautifully defined the path to liberation and the exalted states of the liberated, was Saint Thaimanavar. Bhagavan Ramana was so identified with many of Thaimanavar's poems that he would frequently recite them to illustrate the spiritual truths he wanted to bring home to his devotees. He has been quoted to have said that in the whole Thaimanavar literature, he preferred one stanza which says, "Ego disappearing, another I spontaneously manifests in full glory." Saint Thaimanavar's life was characterized by an all-consuming aspiration for truth and a spontaneous outpouring of his experiences expressed in inspired Tamil verse. The following biographical notes and translations were done by Dr. B. Natarajan of Chennai and are copyrighted by the Himalayan Academy. Under the title A Guiding Light, Dr. Natarajan's description of how Thaimanavar came into his life is no less inspiring than the saint of whom he writes. A guiding light. The world was my open book and inner quest my deep study. Who am I in the vastness of cosmic phenomenon? The mystery car of time takes me round changeful seasons. Destiny leads the play of life, blindfolding me in self-oblivion. Who am I? What am I? Whence am I? What is beyond the entry and exit in this amphitheater of existence? Who feels in the senses and thinks in the mind and dreams in my fancy? Such were my reflections during my school days. I kept aloof from home, society, and noisy crowds, taking delight in inner communion. Home and school resented my dreamy mood and crazy solitude. One day, I was treated harshly by my kith and kin. I ran for refuge to the temple and there hugged the feet of God. I surrendered my life into the hands of the divine grace. Oh, grace, I take refuge at thy feet. Lead me to light from this dark veil of tears. Reveal to me the mystery of life and its mission. Keep me here to fulfill that mission and call me back to be with thee. I sobbed in a frenzy of spontaneous fervor. I felt a warm current traversing my heart and brain and a descent from above, which continues to this day. I was reborn in the grace and could now understand the meaning of life and the language of the soul. I sat in a dark corner of the temple, forgetting body and world, when a song attracted me to the lotus tank nearby. There, in the bright moonlight, some monks were singing together a song that touched my soul. The silent one possessed me in silence and poured into me a speechless word that was the seed of wisdom. That word, O friend, had a magic effect on my life. It hushed up the mind and opened my heart to silent embrace of the divine. So on went the song which brought me peace and joy. I learned from the monks the song and, for the first time, knew about its author, Sage Thaimanavar. I secured a copy of his works and treasured it in my bosom. The hymns of Sage Thaimanavar became the guiding light of my life. I still believe that the divine grace gave a silent friend to my pilgrim soul. The hymns of Thaimanavar removed my gloom and solved my mental problems. It unraveled the riddle of existence. Each line was a message, and each message a vision of truth. Each truth was a spark of intuition, and each intuition had a transforming force. The style of Thayumanavar was limpid, simple, straight, bright, profound, and sweet. It flowed from the abundance of soul's delight in rapturous union with the beloved. Every hymn is a gem of divinity. It is an enchanting flute voice of the soul that touches all souls. The poet was song, and the song the poet. This is the message of the seer poet. The unique one pervades all beings. All are one in that. It is the life of lives, the one that moves in many names and forms. It is beyond the mental conceptions of caste, creed, and religion. Ascetic or householder, all have a right to live in its consciousness. Come collectively to enjoy the bliss of life in the divine grace. Call with deep love, the grace shall pour itself from above. Now, let us see the evolution of his life towards divinity. Who is this boy? The rock temple at Thrissurapuram is a marvel of Indian architecture. It enshrines the image of Thayumanavar, the god of mother love. The temple is busy with crowds of devotees singing devotional songs and dancing in ecstasy. Among them, we see a brilliant boy, fair in color, tall in stature, with rosy cheeks, lotus face, and phosphorescent eyes, beaming with grace and rays of knowledge. The boy contemplates upon the divine for a while and then leaves the crowd. He quickly gets up to the topmost temple of the hill. There, Ganesha stands. The boy sits self-immersed, meditates a while, and then sings, "Rare is human birth, while yet I live on this earth. In this body, with heart and soul, I must revel in the ecstasy of divine grace." The boy seeks a spiritual teacher to initiate him in the secret of the divine art. He stands again before Lord Thayumanavar and pours out his soul's aspirations into songs. He becomes silent in meditation, tears gushing out of his eyes in pearl drops of ecstasy. The pious parents. A tall, stately man comes in haste. He looks here and there and catches hold of the boy, saying, "Come home. How long are you to be here? Come." That is his father. Kediliyappa. Kediliyappa literally means immortal father. Born to this mortal father, the boy sought father, the immortal. This saintly boy is our Thayumanavar. He was named after the deity of the rock temple. Kediliyappa Pillai, a Chola Vellala, was an administrative officer of the Nayak kingdom. Kediliyappa originally lived at Vedaranyam, a famous pilgrim center. He was the trustee of the local temple. He was a learned man, high in intellect and wide in heart. His wife, Gajavalli, was a pious lady, humming devotional songs while attending to housekeeping. Their home was surrounded by a divine aureole. The liberality of the hearts expressed itself in charity and hospitality. There was a royal dignity in the personality of Kediliyappa and a remarkable sweetness in his words. His elder brother, Vedaranyan, a great scholar, well placed in life, had no children. Kediliyappa offered his own boy, Siva Chidambaram, in adoption to the elder brother. The brother's face glowed with joy, and there was sunlight again in his life. The king's favor. Those were the days of the Nayak kings. The Pandyan dynasty had declined. The Nayak chiefs of Vijayanagar possessed the Madurai kingdom, 1559-1736. Viswanatha, Tirumalai, and Mangammal were noteworthy rulers of Madurai. They were great patrons of art and poetry. The grandson of Magamal was Vijaya Ranga Chokunatha. He set up his residence at Thrissurapuram. He was a pious man but not a statesman. He ruled for 27 years, 1704 to 1731. His kingdom was often attacked by the Marathas and the Muslims. He wanted strong assistance. His minister Govindappa one day came to Vidaranyam. Kadiliyappa received the august guest with temple honors and entertained him under his hospitable roof. Both of them spoke on religion and politics. The minister said, "Kadili, you are a scholar, a devotee, an astute statesman, a clever diplomat, and a keen accountant. You are just the man that we are seeking. Come with me and serve the king." Kadiliyappa shifted his family to Thrissurapuram. King Chokunatha, pleased even at the first sight, took Kadili into his council and gave him a free hand in the management of his household. Kadili was faithful to the king, alert to his duty, and timely in advising him against enemies. Chokunatha treated him like a brother. Kadili's fame and fortune flourished day by day. There was only one gloomy spot in his life. That was the absence of a child to cheer his home. He and his wife went daily to the rock temple and prayed to Lord Thaimanavar for a child. They fed saints and made gifts to scholars. Kadili chanted holy songs. He also arranged for Vedic recitals before the sanctum of Thaimanavar. While the atmosphere was thus charged with the holy vibrations, his wife Gajavalli became enceinte. Gajavalli spent her days in prayer and listening to holy recitations. Devotees were chanting the soul-thrilling psalms of Manikvashagar when Gajavalli delivered the gifted child. That child was named Thaimanavar, for it was born by the grace of Thaimanavar Swami. Kadili was overjoyed at the sight of his luminous son, radiant in beauty. Temple bells rang in blessings, learning and yawning. Everyone was attracted to this lovely child. King Chokunatha admired the boy and marked him for his service. The father brought up the son with high hopes. He taught him Tamil and Sanskrit, spiritual lore and statecraft. The king was satisfied with his progress. He was the cynosure of saints and scholars. He was an adept in Vedanta and Siddhanta. He read with rapture the hymns of saints like Manikvashagar, Appar, Sambandar and Sundarar. He mastered the Maikanda Sastras. These are holy books in Tamil. He studied Upanishads side by side with Tiruvachakam. He was a clever logician and none could rival him in discussions. But he was not satisfied with book lore. Books did not reveal the Blessed One cradled in his heart. Words did not quench his thirst. From sunrise to sunset, he was seeking for something within, for somebody that can lead him to the fount of self-conscious bliss. He had a rich home. He had free access to the king's palace. He was welcomed in royal circles. But the born sage preferred solitude to company, reflection to reading, and introspection to speaking. Words were loads to him and books burdens. He went often to the rock temple and spent his time in meditation and prayer. In the bosom of purified calmness, in the silent seclusion of inner peace, he sought self-reality with all the fervor of his faith. His eyes flowed with tears of yearning. His lips throbbed with songs and spiritual melancholy. He had the sage mind of Patinathar, the contemplation of the Buddha, the inspiration of Vedic seers, the fervor of Manikavachakar, the humility of Appar, and the faith of Sambandar, nuggets of golden truth cast in brilliant couplets came out of the inner mind. Then longer poems flowed out spontaneously, showering tear pearls gushing out of his lotus eyes. The boy saluted and contemplated upon the supreme. Learning yielded to yawning. Toyamanavar saw the Hatha Yogins controlling breath and twisting their bodies. He saw religionists in hot discussion. He saw verbomaniacs quarreling about the God whom they could not even imagine. He sought solace in the unique one who is all and all in all. He invoked his grace day and night for a guiding light, a royal service. Kadilepa did not live to see the brilliant manhood of his son. He joined the majority while yet Toyamanavar was in his teens. His father's death intensified his yearning for spiritual freedom. With this body, I must attain liberation. This was his resolution. But the king would not leave him to himself. Dear Toyamanavar, serve me in your father's place, said he. Toyamanavar had to obey the king. He became the chancellor of exchequer of the Nayak kingdom. He fulfilled his state duties to the entire satisfaction of the king, who loved him more and more. Also, his Rani Meenakshi. She was ready to do anything for him. People liked his gentle manners and benevolent heart. He did his duty for duty's sake, but his heart was aloof from the distractions of state affairs. He saw what the world was and took lessons from what he saw. Those were troubled times. Trisirapuram was a field of conflicting forces. The throne was shaken by invasions and revolutions, political butchery, local treachery, social animosity, royal indolence, and religious pretense disrupted the harmony of life everywhere.
They were riding
Maratha hordes, and the invading Lavab's forces were lurking in ambush in the vicinity. The clatter of enemies' swords innervated the Nayak forces. Toyamanavar saw with open eyes the danger of royal courts disrupting by flippant pleasures. The kingdom was a web of spies and a trap of enemies. The friends of today became the foes of tomorrow. None can play with fire without being scorched. Toyamanavar did not like to be caught in this political turmoil. He witnessed 1,000 golden hypocrisies and pitied humanity caught in the coils of temptation. Toyamanavar despised the mere life of carnal desires and sex indulgence. Yoga was his deep aspiration. A master sought the seeker. To be continued.